almost finished on the book of Revelation. Ain't that something? Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We're almost finished. I can't believe we've been through the whole book. You know, a man named Thomas Arnold said, in other religions, man seeks after God. In Christianity, God seeks after man. That's the problem with the Muslims. They're seeking God, and God's seeking them. Somebody else said, if you want your sins covered, you must uncover them before God. That's why he says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just. Revelation 21. Y'all going to have to forgive me. I've got a cough drop in my mouth. I'm getting a sore throat. So if I get to preaching, I spit it out on you. Just ignore it. We'll keep going. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Boy, that must be a beautiful place. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Excuse me. Then there came unto me one of seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues and talked with me saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Boy, we just stop right there and shout. Amen. He's going to show us off. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He's talking about that city having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On these 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, next time somebody tells you they're an apostle, say, we don't need any more apostles. We've got the 12 that laid the foundation to the city. There's no more to put on the foundation. You don't tear a house down and put a new foundation on it. Do it over and over and over. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lies 4 square. It was 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. In other words, same length. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, perfect square. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysos, I never can say that word, y'all help me, chrysophorus, there it is, jacinth, the twelfth amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Boy, ain't that a city. Amen. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You won't need a temple. You won't need a church house. He is the temple. He's the church house. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And I said in our Monday night class, in creation, there was light before there was a sun and stars and moon. It was God. He is light. And the only reason he made the sun, stars, and moon, because he was fixing to go back to heaven and have something to shine on the earth while he was gone. And this city has no sun. It's him. It's all about him. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, you read a whole chapter in the book of Revelation tonight. I want to show you seven things. There's so much. We could stay in that book 2 or 3 weeks. But I want to show you just seven things tonight. Some new things. Some new things that's going to be in heaven. Some new things. I like new things. I don't know if you do or not, but I like old stuff. I'm not an antiquer, though. I'm not. Probably the only antiques I've ever had was like on the Andy Griffith show. You know, they went to that guy. He said he was selling antiques. They went back to that fix-up shop and had a chain. They caught him with a chain beating up a table. And then he put varnish over it and called it antique. That's probably the only kind of antique I've ever had. Somebody asked me one time, said, y'all got any antiques at your house? I said, yeah, everything we got's old. Everything we got secondhand, amen. Everything we got is a hand-me-down. All my house is full of antiques, amen. Now, but I want to show you some new things, okay? These young people, they like new things. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I saw a 1956 Ford yesterday. Black. Now, I'm not a Ford fan, but I like that old car. I had two friends had 1956 Fords when I was a kid. Now, they didn't light a candle to a 56 Chevy. Now, don't get me wrong, you know. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But to look at that Ford and look at a new Ford Escort or whatever they make now, there's no comparison. No comparison. But see, heaven's going to be an improvement, unlike automobiles. Amen? And so... have you noticed this too? They've got all those drawings to all those old cars. They still have those drawings. They do. They got them somewhere stored away. And you know it, Jeffrey. If they wanted to, they could take that exact drawing and make that car again and make millions. But they won't do it. What they'll do, they'll make one similar to it, little bit modified because they think, well, the old people will buy this and the young people will buy it because it's new, it's not old. But that ain't heaven. When we get to heaven, it's going to be brand new. And there's seven things I want you to see. Look in verse 1. I saw, verse 1, a new heaven. A new heaven. Now, wait a minute. What was wrong with the other one? Well, did you know that there was sin in heaven one time? There was. Lucifer got filled with pride, and he said, I will ascend up to the Most High. I will be like God. I will sit on his throne. And God cast him, and one-third of the angels that followed him cast him out of heaven. So God's going to make a new heaven, so that will have no history in heaven. The new heaven will have no sin history in it. The old one, it had sin in it, Lucifer. And God had to cast him out. But then I want you to notice this. There's also a new earth in verse 1. He said, I saw a new heaven and new earth. Now, here's why you and I would do it. We just fix up the old one, but not God. This world's so tainted by the blood and the sinful deeds that God is going to do away with it and make a new heaven and new earth. Look at it. For the first heaven was passed away, and the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In other words, the new earth won't have an ocean, won't have a sea. Well, why is that, preacher? Well, there's going to be a lot of people on it. There's going to be a lot of people. Think of all the people that's died through the ages believing on a Savior to come, either to come before Christ or one that has come after Christ. Think of all, we think about heaven, we think about little, couple hundred people floating around on clouds. We're talking billions of people. Billions of people. Well, that new heaven's going to come down to earth, and they're going to be connected, and you'll be able to go in and out, earth and heaven, heaven and earth, and all those billions of people on planet earth. And God's going to make a new earth wherein, the Bible says in another place, dwelleth righteousness. No more sin. This earth has a terrible history. It does. Ever since the first man and woman were created, this earth has had a sinful history. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of good things. There's a lot of beautiful places on planet earth I like to go. I like to see new places and stuff like that. But you won't hardly touch foot anywhere on planet earth that sin has not got there before you did. Hardly anywhere on planet earth. There's hardly anywhere on planet Earth that you'll go other than maybe one of the polar ice caps or somewhere that somebody has not already been. Amen? And we think today there's 7 billion people approximately on planet Earth. When we were born, did you know that there was about 3.5 billion? I'm talking about the baby boomers. And so it's doubled. And did you know that years ago, Clinton, before people say, well, what about the Indians and all that? Those people migrated from Russia and came across the Bering Strait, and they migrated down through America, and they repopulated and repopulated and repopulated, and they went down through Central America, and they had babies and had babies, and they went down into South America, and they had babies and had babies. Those people were, they came from the Russian continent over there, migrated from places, Oriental type people. And just think of all the feet that's traveled over all the world walking, and every one of them was a sinner. There's only been one that was born that wasn't a sinner. Everybody else, everywhere we go, we take sin with us. And so this old world, this earth, has been corrupted by sin. God's got to make it new. Because God is not going to dwell. He's coming down, remember? And he's not going to dwell where there's been sin. He's not going to do it. So he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. I wouldn't worry about the atmospheres if I were you. I wouldn't worry about the water and the atmosphere. And pollution and all. I wouldn't worry about that much. No, I wouldn't worry about that. Number one, God's got ways of cleaning things up. It's cleaning up right now. He's made processes. The ocean cleans the oxygen. The trees clean the oxygen and take in carbon dioxide. It makes new oxygen. For years, they wondered what that ozone hole was up there for. That ozone hole is so that all the bad stuff can escape in outer space. It's like a chimney. That's all it is. And it gets bigger and littler. And God takes care of every bit of that. Every bit of that. I wouldn't worry too much about man destroying the earth. It's not going to happen. Mankind does not have, never has have, and never will have the power to destroy the planet earth. Any man that thinks that thinks highly more of himself than God does, because God would never allow it. Besides that, we don't have the power. We think about nuclear bombs. Nuclear bombs ain't nothing. The earth's crust is miles and miles and miles and miles deep. There's places in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, that they've never found the bottom to, because they can't get nothing down that deep, because the pressure of the water will crush it. Hundreds of miles deep. Did you know there's mountains in the Atlantic Ocean that are higher than Mount Everest? We couldn't destroy that. Mankind can't destroy that. But we have corrupted it. We've corrupted it with our sinful ideas and our sinful ways and our sinful lives. We've corrupted. Just the other day, that wicked, sinful King Assad, or they call him president, but he was born in it, and he'll always have it, over in Syria, him and the Russians dropped all that gas on those poor people over there and gassed them to death. Now, you're talking about a bad way to die. Can you imagine gasping and trying to breathe and just, oh man, the babies and the children and the women. Can you imagine that? You know what? He ain't the worst man ever lived on planet Earth. He's sinful, and that's wicked, that's sinful. But just think of old Hitler. He had... we talk about 6 million Jews. Well, people don't mention it, but he had 5 million people killed that weren't Jews on top of that, plus all those that died in the wars that he caused, see. And he ain't the wickedest one that ever lived. This world's corrupt. This earth has been, listen, it has been trod down and destroyed and everything else by sin, and thank God one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where there's no more sin, and it's going to be pure, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be holy, 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 because God's holy. And God's going to dwell among us. Amen. And then I said, new heaven, new earth. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, you can't say that about the old Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem was made out of mud and dirt and rocks. He said there's a new Jerusalem coming. And it's coming down out of heaven. And it's so beautiful, it looks like a bride prepared for the wedding. Amen? I'll never forget, all three of my daughters made beautiful brides. They did. I cried. I couldn't have done it if they'd asked me. They knew it. I couldn't do their weddings. All I could do was cry. And before it got started, I started crying. I did. And I walked them down the aisle. And I cried all the way down the aisle. And I gave them away. And I cried when I gave them away. And the only one that would let me say anything in the wedding was Charity. And since we named her out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, Charity, she wanted me to read that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I read about three verses, started bawling like a baby. I read that whole thing, and I was crying, and then I went and sat down, and Charity said a couple of ladies came to her and said that sweetest thing they'd ever seen, that Daddy would read 1 Corinthians 13 and give away his daughter like that. And I said, they don't know how miserable I was reading that. I didn't want to give her away. But hey, listen, she's beautiful. I think about Becky. She's so beautiful walking down at Independent Bible Baptist Church there, walking down through there, so beautiful in that long train, you know. And of course, Suzanne, she had the Princess Di wedding, you know. She had that big thing over there at Eastside. I'll never forget, I called over and I said, can my daughter have her wedding at your church? And I forget the preacher's name that was there at the time. He said, sure, you'll have to pay $500. I said, what? $500? I said, I was saved in that church. I said, I've known a lot of people in that church. You're going to charge me $500 to rent your church? He said, okay, for you, we'll charge $200 for the cleanup fee. But it's still a beautiful wedding. And she walked down through there with that long train, you know. And it was so, and I just cried and cried and cried. Listen, that's the picture you get right here. This beautiful bride, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And listen, this is where the Lord is going to be, because we won't need a temple anymore because he's going to be there. And just get that picture. A bride reminds you of what? Purity. Amen. The jewelry, they wear those little crowns, reward, honor, goodness, glory, all kind of words you can think of about a bride. And here comes that big old square city coming down out of heaven. And it's so beautiful. It's got those beautiful pearly gates. And it's got those beautiful walls with all those jewels and rocks and stuff shining in it, you know. And it's got those beautiful streets of pure gold, you know. And that thing's coming down out of heaven. He said, I saw it coming down out of heaven like a bride. She's walking down the aisle. Amen. I love it. I love it. There's going to be a New Jerusalem. And then verse 3. Look at verse 3. Quick. Heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, you know what I thought about when I read that? I thought, listen, not only is there going to be a new Jerusalem, but there's going to be a new people. That's a new people. God is with men. He'll dwell with them. They'll be his people. They won't be their people. They won't be Democrat or Republican. They won't be white or black or Yankee or good old Johnny Reb. They're going to be his people, a new people, all united. Christians don't get along. Christians don't agree on hardly anything anymore. But thank God one day he's going to make all that right. He's going to fix it. And it's not going to be Baptist or Pentecostal or Presbyterian. It's going to be his people. A new people, see? A new people. And listen, a happy people. There won't be any more sadness, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness. And God's going to wipe away their tears. And that'll be the last time you'll ever have a tear that day that God wipes away that last tear. Hey, that's a new people. That ain't nothing like we are now, is it? Past 3 or 4 nights, I ain't been able to sleep hardly at all. And boy, I get looking at this, I think, well, glory to God, I get up there, I won't need any sleep. Amen. Amen. You ever felt bad because you didn't get enough sleep? You know, your old mind gets to wandering, and the old devil's shooting those arrows, those fiery darts at you, you know. And boy, you get up and you try to read something, you try to pray, you try to do something. Thank God, we're going to be a new people. That ain't going to happen anymore. And then look at verse 5. In verse 5, he says, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. Hey, everything there is going to be brand new. Everything. Now, I know you probably ain't like me, but I like old cars. But you know what I really like? I like to sit in a new car and smell it. You ever sit in a new car and smell it? The only thing I like smelling better than that is new money. You ever went to the bank and got that money that sticks together? You have to crinkle it up. Mom's brand new, you know. It ain't worth nothing, but it still smells real good. I mean, y'all ever smelt new money? I went in the Founders one day and make a deposit. And while I was there, that girl says, is there anything else we can do for you? I said, can you go back there and get me my money and bring it up here and just let me look at it? I said, I just want to look at it. I want to hold it. I said, it's mine. Can I see it? I said, I just like to pick it up and smell it. It's my money. Can you go back there and get it? And she kind of grinned. She said, no, your money ain't back there. I said, where's my money at? We've been bringing money over here for years. Where's all my money at? She said, it's in there. And she pointed at that computer. I said, I can't hold that money. I can't feel it. I can't smell it. There ain't nothing like the smell of new money or a new automobile or a new pair of leather shoes. I knew women would like that part. New leather shoes. Women's got so many shoes, they don't know what to do with them. And, but listen, when we get to heaven, when this new heaven comes, everything's new. You ever get homesick? Sure you do. Sure you do. Sometimes I'll go see Mama, and after I see her, before I see her, I'll go down those old roads where I grew up, you know, and I'll get to looking, and it ain't there no more. There's two houses Mama lived in. Well, there's three that's still there, but the one I really grew up in, it's way back off in the field, and this guy's done all messed it up. It's junk piled all around and everything. So once or twice I went on down the road, and there's a creek runs back through the woods back there off Great Falls Highway. We used to go swimming in it. The name of it is Rum Creek. And we used to go swimming in it when I was a little boy, and we'd chop off that vine, you know, and swing out over the water and drop in. It's pretty deep. And I go down there and look at it, and but it ain't the same. You know where they run new sewer lines? Beside the creeks. It's got a sewer line running right beside it. Y'all ever notice that? That's where they put the sewer lines, right beside the creek, because that's the lowest place, and they don't need that. You can't go back. You can't go back. And thank God, when I get to heaven, ain't none of it going to be there either. Because with all that stuff, there's a lot of bad memories too. A lot of bad memories. And thank God, all those memories are going to be gone. It's going to be brand new. Everything's going to be new. And then hurry. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, he says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So there's a new temple. But it ain't a temple. It's Him. Amen? Him. Why you go to church? To worship Him. Why you read the Bible? To see Him. Why do you go to a prayer meeting or preaching or Sunday school? To talk about Him, to see Him. And when we get to heaven, we won't need these places because there He is. Amen? And then look at verse 23. Hurry. Verse 23. In verse 23, now remember, I'm talking about new things in the new heaven. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You remember when you was a kid in the summertime? If you was a city kid, okay? I was 2 miles outside town, so... But you remember when you was a city kid, we used to tell my kids, y'all come in when the street lights come on. Of course, summertime, they don't come on till 9 o'clock, you know. Y'all better be in here by the time street lights come on. Anybody ever told y'all that? Where'd y'all grow up at? Y'all didn't have no lights. Oh, that's back before they had electricity. I'm sorry. You grew up on the mill hill. They didn't have street lights. They had flambeaux. Flambeaux, that thing you put kerosene in around like that. He said you had to be home before dark. Well, let me tell you something. You won't never have to be in up there. Street lights ain't coming on. They stay on all the time. His name's Jesus. It won't ever get dark again. Amen. My wife hates to go to bed. She'd rather sit up and talk all night. If y'all ladies ever want to sit up and talk all night, come over to my house. My wife, I've seen her do it. When my daughters were young, they'd have company over, and I'd go in there about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd open the door. I said, "Ain't y'all ever going to go to bed?" And they'd say, "Probably not." I've known them to talk all night. Go to camp when the kids were supposed to be in her cabin asleep. They was talking. They were talking. She got so mad at me one night, about 12 o'clock, everybody in the camp was asleep. 130-something kids, well, minus her 15 or 20. And we put them way back in the woods on purpose. They were way back at the back of the camp. And so here I am, I'm patrolling, every light's out, everybody's quiet except hers, way back there in the woods. She didn't know it, but I knew where the switch box was, and I went over there and I turned the power off. They were hollering. They got to hollering. She got so mad at me. But listen, thank God one day there ain't going to be a light switch. Amen. It's going to be light forever and ever and ever and ever. Stay out of my preaching. Amen. Listen. Look at 23 through 25. In verse 20, we've already read 23. Verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it," that city. "And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." The gates will always be open. No locks. Amen? No latches, no locks. Now, listen. There's going to be new light in heaven. Now, verse 4. Go back to verse 4 real quick. And I'm going to run out of time. Verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying." And it looked the last part of that. "For the former things are passed away." There's going to be a new era. Time's going to start all over. History's going to start all over. And it's going to be brand new, starting all over. Now, notice verse 27 real quick. "And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth." What does that mean? Anything that would do anything contrary to the will of God, the word of God, the way of God, the wholeness of God. "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination." What did I say that was in Sunday school? I said that's a sickening sin. It's a sin that makes God sick. There's a lot of them. Right now our country's eat up with some abominable sins. Amen? None of those people's going to go, "I'm sorry. You don't judge me." "I'm sorry, I don't have to." It says it right there. God says what you're doing is abomination and you ain't going. "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." Ain't going to be many politicians in heaven. Ain't going to be many lawyers in heaven. Amen? "Whatsoever maketh a lie." Amen? But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now I want you to notice it said Lamb's book of life. Compare it to chapter 20. Go back to chapter 20 real quick. Look at chapter 20. Look at verse 12 in chapter 20. In chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And what? The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life." Now, it doesn't say the Lamb's book of life. It says the book of life. You notice that? Okay. Now, "and the dead were judged out of those." Now, look at verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, what's he saying? Well, those that were not written... I told it the other Sunday. Whenever you get born, your name's put in the book of life. You're born. You're alive. There's a book up there with your name in it. And all your deeds will be written down. Every one of them will be written down. Now, those are books you're going to be judged out of. Now, if the ones that's going to be at that judgment, their names are going to be taken out of the book of life because they didn't believe on Christ. The only ones that are going to be left are those in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. See? Now, everybody's born in the book of life, but only those born again, a new birth, gets you to a new place, a new city, a new heaven, a new temple, a new era, a new life. you better make sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 22, look at verse 19, and I'll quit. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of what? And out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book. Some people say, well, saved people can do that. No, the saved people are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, you start cutting up God's word, you're not saved. Undoubtedly, nobody would that was saved. And so your name's also, your name's going to be taken out of the book of life because you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's not the second life. Y'all got it? The new Jerusalem, new heaven. Seven things. I hope you wrote them down. Go to work tomorrow and preach that. Amen. You'll either get the boss saved or you'll be hunting a new job next week. Amen. All right. Well, listen, serious. I hope your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're alive. Your name's in the Book of Life. But I want to know if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thankful for